Luke 10, 25 through 37. The teacher of the law came up and tried to trap Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to receive eternal life?" Jesus answered him, "What do the scriptures say? How do you interpret them?" The man answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." "You are right," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." But the teacher of the law wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus answered, "There was once a man who was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, when robbers attacked him, stripped him, and beat him up, leaving him half dead. It so happened that a priest was going down that road, but when he saw the man, he walked by on the other side. In the same way, a Levite also came there, went over and looked at the man, and then walked on the other side. But a Samaritan who was traveling that way came upon the man, and when he saw him, his heart was filled with pity. He went over to him, poured oil and wine on his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own animal and took him to the inn, where he took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Take care of him, he told the innkeeper, and when I come back this way, I will pay you whatever else you spend on him." And Jesus concluded, "In your opinion, which one of these three acted like a neighbor towards the man attacked by the robbers?" The teacher of the law answered, "The one who was kind to him." Jesus replied, "You go then and do the same." This is the reading of God's word.
So here, Jesus use this parable to communicate a profound message. And he uses a Samaritan person as the best example, right? And so the question I have for us this morning is, why do you think Jesus used Samaritan as a best individual in this particular parable to communicate his message, his point? Yes, please.
Because Samaritans were despised at the time.
Because Samaritans were despised at that time. How about anybody else? What comes to your mind? Yes, please.
It was the least likely person, perhaps, to someone, the hearer of the story.
Least likely person, right?
Very shocking to hear.
Shocking, yeah. Yeah, it was shocking for them because, like, yeah, Samaritan would be the last person they would think something good from them. Yes, please. Yeah.
And Samaritans were not part of the tribes of Israel. So he was stepping outside of his own culture to help somebody who he knew nothing about other than he was hurt.
That's right. Okay. And so Jesus is telling this story or parable in the context of Jewish society, and Samaritans were considered mixed race. Samaritans were considered outside. And again, to make a point, Jesus, yes, so they were considered outside people. And again, Jesus could make his point very strongly. Also, so think about that a little bit more. And in our context, when you think about who could be that Samaritan within our context, like who you think is so far off from our own safety zone, from our own comfort zone, like you would think like, and feel free to say anything. In other words, nobody's going to judge you. Amen? Again, so feel free, like, what do you think, like, within your mind, who could be that Samaritan, who could be out there so far from our understanding? Yes, please, Barbara.
Reading next door this week in my neighborhood, it would definitely be the homeless.
Homeless, yes, okay, so that group comes to our mind. How about anybody else?
Terrorists,
right? Okay. People out there who are trying to harm us, harm our country. Can they be a good Samaritan? How about anybody else? Yes, I think, Barbara, you wanted to say something else too.
No.
Carolyn, go ahead. You can do it.
She said Republicans.
All right.
Oh, now it's out there.
Oh, yeah, see?
See how she said it.
I don't think you'll go that far. But you did. So we have to stop it right here before it does work. So for the next four Sundays, we are going to talk about being a good neighbor. And we are going to talk about four different groups this coming in this particular month. Number one, we're going to talk about today how to be a good neighbor to people from different faith. Those who follow different religion than Christian faith, how as a Christian we can be their neighbors. Amen?
Amen.
Next Sunday we are going to talk about that, how can we be neighbor to immigrant population, people who come from outside to America and those who live among us, and how can we be their neighbor. Now when we look at that, there are so many of us that, right, including me who is standing right here. The third one, on the third Sunday, we will talk about that, how can we be neighbor to our LGBTQ community. And on the fourth Sunday, we are going to exactly address the real big problem Carolyn has, that how can we be neighbor to our Democrat brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Amen. How many of you think it's going to be a tough one?
Amen.
Or how can we be brothers and sisters or neighbors to Republicans or Democrats or people with different political agenda and opinion? Because those are the individuals, those are the group for us would be a challenging for us to reach out. And as a scripture, as Christian, God invites us, dear people of God, to partner with us to extend this message of being a good Samaritan. It is God's desire for us to be an example to society and to us and to our fellow country people, that we as a Christian, as a church, can become a neighbor. Now, it doesn't mean that we have to agree with that person in everything, right? That's not going to be possible. But there are ways, there are things we can actually go along. Like again, Mark was saying, you know, or in this, that, you know, you don't have to agree with everything. You might still have a different theological opinion on matters. You might still have a different political opinion on matters. But still, we can be their neighbor. We can be the person who can help them in the times of need. Amen?
Amen.
And so that is the reason we wanted to talk about this particular parable. And for the whole four Sundays, we are going to use the same parable. All different speakers, they're going to use the same story, same parable. And so that's why I thought we wanted to study a little bit on it. So number one, today we are going to talk about how can we be neighbor to people from different faiths. What God has to say about it, dear people of God, to us. The first thing I want to bring to your notice, it is found in the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 27, in which we see the story of creation. And the Bible tells us that God created Adam and Eve. God created male and female. And the scripture says, and God put his image in them. In other words, if you want to look at a God a little bit in somebody else, look deep down in that person's life. Look deep down in their heart, and you will see God's image in that person. In other words, we are all created in the image of God. Amen?
Amen.
Those who are Christians and those who are not Christians. Those who consider themselves as Hindu, Muslim, Buddhist, atheist, any other title, religious title might come to your mind. The scripture says that we are all created in the image of God. And there is a God spark in all of us. And so, dear people of God, that when we look at people from different faith groups, when we see people from the religious settings, let us remember that they have the image of God. They have spark of God in them as much as the spark of God is in us. This is not what I'm saying. This is what the scripture is telling us. And so when we have this idea, when we understand this aspect, then we will have a tremendous love and respect toward those individuals. Amen?
Amen.
We will see them as sisters and brothers. We will see them as somebody who may not look like us, somebody who may not think like us, somebody who may not have a religious practices like us, but they are still sisters and brothers because we are all part of God's being. We are all part of God's nature. We are all parts of God's family. And so when we have a tendency to judge or to become critical, let us remember this fact. See, as soon as I think about this, I a little bit calm down. I understand that, you know what? I have to be careful how I talk about my brother and my sister. Amen?
Amen.
Because we all belong to God. The second thing, the freedom of will. Bible is a big on it, the idea that not only God has created us, but then God has given us freedom of will. In other words, God has given us freedom of choice. How you want to live your life is your choice. How you want to practice your faith is your choice. How you want to do things is your choice. Now, there are consequences of those. But God gives us freedom, dear people of God. In fact, we know the story that God gave freedom to Adam and he chose his freedom in a different way. And God works with him, God talks with him, and God continues to have communion with him. And because of that amazing God's grace, it's because of God's constant connection with us, we are in God's family now. But let us remember the fact that people have choice, and people have freedom of choice, and they make their choice. And we have to love and respect for people's choice. Amen? Even though sometimes those choice might be not our choice. Sometimes they might vote for somebody who might be not in our liking. But because they are our sisters and brothers, because they have a choice, and when they use their choice, we have to love and respect them. And the third one, because of time factor, our Christian responsibility. What does God asks us to do in regard to our fellow sisters and brothers who follow different faith? Number one, be hospitable. Amen? Be hospitable. Being hospitable is a big deal in the scripture. God constantly invites us. God constantly tells his people to be hospitable to the people of other groups, people of other faith, people of other skin color, people of other background. That's the way actually we will able to express the love of Christ to other people. That is the only way we will able to tell people that how much God loves them and how much we love them because of God's command to us, because of God's encouragement to us. To be hospitable is to invite somebody in our own space. Is to let that person come in and have their influence on us. And sometimes that's a difficult one. Sometimes it's becoming challenging for us to have somebody else come and invade our space because we have been guarding our space for so long, for so many years. We don't want anybody to come and change us in any way. We want this church to exactly look the same even after we come 100, after 200 years. It has to be the same color chair, right? The carpet has to be the same and the flower has to be same. And when the flower person is changed, our life goes upside down. Because we want to be the same people. We don't want to change. And when we invite somebody else in our space, They're going to dress differently. They will talk differently. They will use the words which might be challenging to us. But dear people of God, that's God's call for us to be hospitable person, to be hospitable people. And it is so easy to be hospitable in this setting because we are surrounded by people from different faith. We work with people from different faith. We have friends from different religious backgrounds. And as we live with them, sometimes we see that their lives are even sometimes much more godlike than our own. And so, dear people of God, as a church, as families, as individuals, I encourage you to be hospitable. And that means it could be different in each one of us, what to be hospitable. Sometimes hospitable means to go for a walk with somebody. Sometimes it means to invite somebody in our house for lunch or dinner. Sometimes it means to be available to go for their festivals and invite them at the church. So number one, the Christian responsibility of as a people of faith is to be hospitable. The second one, to tell them the story of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And once in a while, we actually feel uneasy to talk about Jesus to other faith because we have heard this argument from people saying that when I talk about Jesus to other faith or other people, I feel like I am better than you. I feel like I'm superior than you. I feel like that, hey, I know the stuff you don't know, and guess what? I'm going to tell you about it. And let me tell you, that's not what it means. Sharing the gospel is like a one beggar is telling to the another beggar where to find food. This beggar is not better than this beggar. They both are beggars. One person found food. Another person is still searching. In 2004, we came to America. And when we came here, I was a student at Fuller Seminary, and my wife was supporting me through her work. And, you know, initially she started to work at a clothing store, and it was good. But then, as I was at Fuller, there is an office in the Fuller Seminary, and the responsibility of that office is to tell people about other ministry opportunities, other ministry possibilities where people can go and get connected to. And my wife had a Master of Divinity degree. In other words, she could have done her CPE, Clinical Pastoral Education. She could have done that CPE program first or second year, and she would have been a chaplain in America for the last 13, 14 years now. People knew about that at Fuller Seminary. Nobody told us. Because I know why they didn't tell us. Somebody thought like, hey, guess what? These guys are educated. They must know everything, and so we shouldn't be intrude in their life. We shouldn't telling them stuff. Or some people like, you know, I want to tell, but I just don't know when is the right time. And right time never came till actually we came to San Francisco Theological Seminary. And as we were staying there, we found out about this possibility of doing CPE, Clinical Pastoral Education. And almost after 6 years of staying in America, she did that program. And she's chaplain now for almost 6 years. She could have been chaplain for 13, 14 years. She lost 6 years of to be a chaplain because there was nobody was daring or nobody was risking enough. Nobody was ready enough to risk their reputation to tell us about CPE program. Gospel is something like this. You know it, you tell it. Amen? Amen? It's not a big deal. You know it, you tell it. You know where to find food, tell somebody there's a food. You know that somebody can do CPE and actually have a better life, tell that person. After we knew about this CPE, I told so many people, my brother is chaplain now. His wife is a chaplain. I have a friend in Philadelphia, came from India. He is a chaplain. There is somebody within our congregation. He is on the way to be a chaplain. This is an amazing gospel. People have to know they don't have to struggle in their life. They can live their God's call in the hospital setting and be a chaplain, actually have a tremendous influence. I don't think that anybody ever thought, as I was telling them about CP, that they're like, Reggie, man, this is too much. I don't want to know about your CP thing. Now, I told to so many people, and most of them didn't become chaplain. And that's fine. But some of them, they did. And their lives have been changed upside down. Second story. When I was in Reading the other day, and I was at the library, and I was coughing, because I have a medical problem called acidic reflex. So what happens when I eat certain type of food, it creates more acid in my system than I need to digest my food. And then eventually this acid had to come out in some form. And eventually this acid reflux would reach almost to my throat. And when it reaches there, it would get stuck. And then I won't be able to really breathe properly. And I won't be able to even, I would start coughing slowly. And so it's a medical condition. And so, yes, other day I was in the library in Reading, and then I was coughing, and somebody noticed it, and she came and I said, hey, I noticed that you're coughing. I said, yes, I have this problem with acid reflux. He said, you know what? I have a great cure for you. She's like, whoa, really? Better than the doctor? She said, yes, better than the doctor. I'm like, okay. And she said, you know what? This is my address, and why don't you come to my home? She's like, whoa. Somebody is giving me her address and asking me to go to her home. And like she found some challenge on my face, and so she started to talk to some more, and then eventually I found out that we have some connection, we know some people, she knows some people, I know some people, and they are supposed to be their friend. And so it was much more easier for me. And so eventually I did go to her house. And I went to her house, and she gave me something to drink. And it was apple cider vinegar. How many of you know about apple cider vinegar? It's a miraculous thing God has ever created. But so she gave me apple cider vinegar, and there was some other herb. And she said, just drink it. And so I drank that, and within a few hours, I was feeling much better. Next day, I go to Trader Joe, and I get the whole big bottle, apple cider vinegar. And everywhere I go, I talk about apple cider vinegar. It has changed my life. Literally 5 years ago, I drank that, and I'm never the same person after that anymore, because I don't have to buy expensive medicine anymore. I don't have to have side effects of those medicine. Drink apple cider vinegar. And I got into so much of apple cider vinegar that I started to read and research. And I found that there are hundreds of other benefits of apple cider vinegar, including that when you want to clean your stove at home and when it's not cleaning, use apple cider vinegar. And baking soda, it works like a miracle. And dear people of God, gospel is apple cider vinegar. You tell it to everyone. This person, a random person in the library, dared to have conversation with me. She was ready to invite this brown-looking guy in her home. A little bit a risky thing, but she did that. And it changed me. There are billions of people in the world. They are looking for apple cider vinegar. They are looking for some connection with clinical pastoral education. They got to know Jesus. I told you many times the story about how Irish Presbyterian missionaries came to India hundreds of years ago. If they would have not come to India and if they would not have preached the gospel, I would be still in India right now cleaning somebody else's toilet as an untouchable and outcast. But those person dare, those person risk, those person came out of their safety zone, those person risked their lives in a way, and it changed me, and not only changed me, literally millions of people around the world. And dear people of God, I believe that is our Christian responsibility to our non-Christian sisters and brothers. Not to overpower them, not to harm them, not to put them down, not to put them like, hey, I'm better than you, not to let them know, hey, I know stuff you don't know, and guess what, I'm better than you. No, 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 no. It is as simple as apple cider vinegar. That woman changed my life and so many other lives by telling me about apple cider vinegar. So dear people of God, tell your stories to people. Tell what you found in your life, life transforming and life changing. Tell your stories to other people. It doesn't mean that everybody's going to go for apple cider vinegar or will become a chaplain. That's not what it means. But it means that I haven't been a selfish person. That I know something in my heart. I know something what is true. I know something very beneficial, and I don't tell it to anybody because guess what? I don't want to risk my reputation. Last story. You know, we had a VBS here a few weeks ago. And on the first day of the VBS, I stood out there and I talked with almost all the parents, those who were coming. And I told them about VBS. And there was a one mother and a child. And when she heard that, her face was like, she was the most happiest person. Like, so are you telling me that my kid can go to, you know, preschool till 6 o'clock, and after that somebody else will take care and I don't have to pick him up till next 4 or 3 hours? I said, yes. It's like, whoa, this is the gospel for me. This is the good news. And she sent her kid for VBS. She was the most happiest person. Actually, she asked, hey, so do you know any other VBS actually operating at the same time? Because I want to take my child there. I wasn't bothering people. I wasn't invading their space. I was just letting them know that, hey, this is a church and we have a vacation Bible school going on. And for kids, there is a food and there's a play and there's a wonderful time of story. And they will learn something and it will change their life. And this mother says, amen to that. I'm ready for it. There are many people, dear people of God, wanting to know God's gospel so that they may have eternal connection with Jesus. Let us close our eyes and pray. Loving God, we come before you. We thank you and we praise you for who you are and what you mean to us. You have placed us here in this place to be neighbor to the people who may not think and have a religious practices like us. Help us to be hospitable person. That as a church, as a Christian, when they look at us, when they see us, they would find joy and they would find comfort and they might find peace and they might find refuge. We want to represent you in this community. And Lord, help us to share our stories with them, how we have been blessed by you, how we have been blessed by this church. So many of us, we tell stories to one another that how this church has changed your life. It needs to go out there so that people can join. People can have that peace and joy which comes from knowing God and being part of this church community. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.